Decision Points is a community that connects members with subject matter experts in order to provide accurate information leading to good decision making and alleviating unnecessary fear. No spin, no censorship, no filter. Just ground truth information. All Decision Points content is produced through its members' generosity and without advertisement affiliation of any kind. Hello and welcome back to another discussion on Decision Points. We're excited to have Matt Brassard on today from Canada and from Ground News, one of our favorite apps, as we discuss media bias and the fact that they had to create an app to help us parse media bias. That's just amazing. But yeah, there's an app out there for that. I think there's an app for everything, but this one in particular is one of my favorite, and it's an eye-opener. And so I hope as you go through this and as we talk, we discuss how this even came about and how we got to the point we're at right now. I hope you get something out of it. I hope you your eyes are open a little bit, as mine have been, and we're able to do just a little bit more on our path to finding the truth, to really seeing the truth. So without further ado, welcome Matt.
Hey, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it, man. Especially, it's kind of interesting. We made this appointment almost like a month ago, but there's a lot going on since then.
Yeah. It's like, I may not have been in the space for like 10, 15 years, but like, this has been the most insane past week I've recalled in recent memory.
Yeah.
Like just with everything, with the Capitol Hill events, with this tech crackdown and speech, like it's just been absolutely insane.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys, we're actually moving off of Patreon just because I anticipate that eventually we'll get kicked off Patreon. And we're not like anything, like we're not extreme or anything like that, but we're honest in our assessments. It's like you guys are. And I don't think that actually, honesty doesn't really matter anymore. It's about taking a side to me, it seems like. And so that kind of, we're going to move over just to onto my company's website, and we're going to make this a subsidiary of my company, and it'll give it a little bit more protection. And because we are growing and people are signing up every day. So, you know, I want to make sure that we don't get slammed like Parler and just left. I just never seen that before.
Where it was like all in like one day. It was like everything. It was like, you know, first it was like, you know, they can't say certain things. And then it was, oh, you can't have an app. And then it was, oh, you can't have a website. So it was like all at once.
But it's been interesting to see the how fast from what's gone on this week and then the pile on, it seems like, and then where we're at right now, which is people are terrified. We're actually getting off Slack too. We're going to Telegram. Oh, yeah. To do our communication. Yeah. Everybody's like, oh, the Russian guy's like, yeah, Russian defectors who didn't like Russia's policy. They're the ones who did this because they actually believe in free speech. So let's go with that for now, you know, but it's always changing, constantly changing, you know, but, I mean, you're aware of that, obviously, you know, Ground News is our go-to. I link, like, if I'm talking about a story, I link it to the topic in Ground News. That way people can go to the topic, see the bias as they're going through all the different stories. I mean, it's been a great tool for us, for me in particular, to see, like, I just didn't realize it. I had an idea. I mean, I was an intelligence officer. All I did was vet sources so that I could get ground truth information. So I had an idea of how bad it was. But once I was able to visualize it through the app, I was like, man, this is ridiculous, you know? So tell me a little bit about the story of Ground News, like how that came about in the first place.
Yeah, sure. So I guess to kind of go back to the founders. So the founders were actually a brother and sister duo. So it's two founders. They both were born in India. And then after growing up there, they came to Canada. And I guess I'll go on the story of Harleen, who's the current CEO of Ground News. She started working and being involved in actually the space industry. So she was a NASA engineer for the New Horizons mission to Pluto. So she worked for NASA and actually got bored of NASA. and wanted
that happens
to more because the words is that, you know, NASA's at its essence, it's just like a government agency, but they move like really, really slow. Like, and especially if like, you know, if you take 10 years to design one screw on a spaceship, and that's your job just to make one screw, you kind of lose the luster of the NASA brand pretty fast. So after that, she went into commerce. She worked at Rolls-Royce for a while in aviation, selling jet engines to other companies and countries and governments. And then she kind of worked in the startup space, worked at a sports news startup as the CFO. And that's kind of her first exposure to to news. And then after seeing the events with politics and kind of the fuller polarization of society, it was clear that the people who were consuming news weren't consuming the same news as everyone else. Like long gone are days of like, you know, like the three main stations, and you can kind of like flip back and forth and it'd be relatively the same thing. Now it's like it's
two Anchorman, or Anchorman 2, and when everything changed, you went to the 24-hour news cycle, and they were just follow him, just talk, speculate. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, because it was clicked. Yeah, it's the Anchorman became reality, and that was fueled by the ad model, because of course, you know, the more sensational news you push out, the more news that's directed towards your base, the more clicks you'll get. So it was kind of that polarizing divide society and that model which kind of led to the news agencies or the news the way you see now. So Ground was founded to address that, to kind of bridge the divide between left, right, center, the fringes, so we can kind of all agree on one truth, on one news event.
On the truth? The truth?
Yeah.
Because it actually exists?
Yeah. Well, I guess there isn't like one truth, but like kind of like the idea of like a more balanced view of things in a way.
Yeah. It's so hard to get people to view. I've had conversations with really smart people that I thought were really smart that do not agree that there are universal truths, rights and wrongs and things like that. I just like it depends on your view, where how you're raised, your environment, and that shapes the way you see things, and how you see things is the truth. And I was like, nah, pretty sure if things red, it's red. Like, no, what else, you're colorblind? Okay, whatever. You know, so there's a few people out there that can't see red. Got it. Yeah. But there are people, I mean, that's the environment we live in nowadays, like social media. You can be whatever you want, you know, and boost that image of yourself, you know, without even actually having to address the truth of who you are, you know. And that's kind of like, I think the attitude that is toward the truth in general, until something happens where you have to actually acknowledge that the truth exists. Like, yeah, you might be a kung fu artist on your YouTube channel, but in real life, when you get in a fight and you get your you get your ass kicked, you're going to find out real, real fast that you're not as awesome as you think you are. But no, yeah, I agree. It's hard to figure out what the truth is sometimes for people. And you can see that in the news, because you can give them whatever version of the truth you want to give them, and people will readily accept that, even though it's like to one side, it's just glaringly wrong. You know, the other side will say, nope, this is my truth and it's right no matter what you tell me, and I'm not going to let go of that. And it's even with your app, I've been having some problems with people. It's like, well, I don't know. I don't know if I accept that. I don't know. It's like, it doesn't matter if you accept it.
Yeah, it's there. It's like it's in front of you, so you should at least give it a chance. So yeah, the kind of aim was that, you know, we don't want to pigeonhole people into one belief. So, you know, creating a new news agency, you know, the world doesn't need more of that, more news agencies. So it's kind of a better way to consume news mindfully.
It's more relevant today, literally today.
Day.
It is more relevant than it's ever been in history. I mean, I have so many people who are just like, I don't interact on social media too much anymore. I'll post something on a Facebook page or something like that to use them, even though I'm talking smack about them all the time, just to get more people directed to what we're doing, which is, you know, intelligent conversations, no shouting matches, backing up what you say with sources. But I'll see people on there just desperate. It's like, what the heck? This whole Parler thing really killed people because they were hoping that it could go over to something else. And the MeWe thing, I'm waiting for them to take a nosedive too, which would probably be pretty soon. But, and it's like, I'm not far right or far left or whatever. I don't care. I have my belief system and it's my belief system. I usually keep it to myself, but, I do believe in choices. And I've seen governments in action where there's only one choice and where it's, I mean, it's, I don't see how people don't see, you know, the intranet in North Korea is not a good choice, but it's the only one they have. And I'm sure it started out with multiple choices and it's ended up with one message and that's all you have. And so I think what you guys are doing is excellent. And I think it's a great idea. Are you guys seeing a lot of an increase in activity on your app at all or in, with interest? I think you guys got some investors recently or something or.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually the past week has been some of, I think probably the best week for us ever.
Nice.
Just because it's kind of like a nationwide awakening of just the two realities that we live in.
Right.
Like this talk of online bubbles has been around since like 2009 when I believe it was Eli Parser first brought it up. But yeah, because I guess the lesson here is that people don't become, you know, these conspiracy theorists and on the fringe overnight. It's like, right. it's a slope.
Yeah.
It's a sort of slope. It's like, you know, one day they're taking the kids to soccer practice and then they, you know, see this news piece like, oh, okay, that makes sense. They follow more sources about this topic. And then they're put more and more into this rabbit hole and this vicious cycle of more and more biased news. So it's like, it's how these things that can seem insane to you and I can seem, you know, as sure as day to someone who's like otherwise a very smart person.
Right.
So I think the past week of like all of these images on TV and just how much the media played this up kind of awoke everyone to this idea that like, you know, this is a problem that we're facing, that it has real world effects, that this isn't, you know, it just doesn't turn into online Facebook comment wars or Twitter fights. It turns into to real events.
Well, then I don't think they're understanding where the blame lies a lot of times. I don't think like everybody wants to blame the people. So we did a panel. I had 2 30-year vets from 3-letter agencies in the United States who were policymakers and understood, you know, the rules for law enforcement in those situations. And I had somebody else who was an intelligence analyst for 20 years with the military and myself and somebody else to bring us all back down to reality who was a security expert on the civilian side. And we went through that step by step, the whole situation. And it came down to leadership failures to plan, and not taking threats seriously. I mean, there's no way that, can you imagine somebody beating down the door of the Kremlin or the palaces in Saudi Arabia?
Wouldn't happen.
It would never happen. So it's like, how did we even get here? And it was a failure, but the way it's being played up, of course, in the news is, you know, it's obvious how it's being pushed. We literally were able to narrow it down to about 10 people that caused the problems or were causing the violence. And then the individual got shot because of it. And so it was like, how did this get blown up into what it's being used as now as fuel to get rid of Parler, you know, or cut somebody's access to online financial services off the president of the United States, no less. It's like, it's just like this fuel that's being pushed. But the problem is what I've seen is with these conspiracy theories is if people don't trust something, they're going to look for something else to latch on to because people need to feel like they're a part of something. Or at least they need to feel validated that they're not crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and so they'll go into these, what you call it, rabbit holes. And as the more they feed those algorithms, the more it's going to spit back at them. But now it's to this point where it's so divided and people have gone way down that path to where, oh, we're just going to cut it off. Like was it Facebook said they're going to censor anything that says stop the steal. So they're like cutting out any information that says has stopped the stealing it. They're just deleting off their feeds. They're getting rid of it. I was like, there was another person who did it. Oh yeah. The guy in 1984, what was his name again? You know, the guy, the Newspeak guy. Yeah. He did that too.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just saying everybody, the majority of the people who are sane in this world and aren't out causing violence protests, you're a bunch of idiots and can't think logically, so we'll do it for you. Well, that, and that's a frightening place, I think, to be. But I mean, with how do you get into? So your idea is to bridge this gap, right, and provide people just the ability at least to make up their mind and see both sides and present that. How do you do that? How do you determine who's left, who's center, who's right? Or how do you parse that out?
Yeah. So yeah, the aim is to not silo people into a side and say this is your news, this is your news, because kind of what we're seeing now is in a year that there might be a network for people who are conservative and people who are liberal, which would completely silo
right
our discourse, and which would make us the world's most powerful echo chambers, which would be
it's getting there ready.
If it's bad now, it's gonna be worse in a year if this gets worse with this siloing that we're seeing of the country and that also the world as a whole. It's not just a U.S. thing. So our approach to it is that we don't ever want people to be siloed. So instead of giving them news that corresponds to their beliefs, actually one of our KPIs is news that is giving people news that contrasts their belief. Because if you go on Twitter, you aren't going to see news that you are unlikely to engage with, because it's bad for engagement, and then you spend less time on platform. They just want to feed you news that you like, that's comfortable, it's warm, and then you'll spend more time to see this positive content. So our goal is we kind of want to flip this model on the head, and we want to give you news. So let's say, example, the Capitol events. You can go on ground.news and look at the news sources from the left, the right, the center, the fringes, and then see kind of how they're spinning each story. So you can get a balanced view on this topic. But the issue with that is that we have to, assign these biases. And our team's small. There's just now 8 of us, I believe. And none of us at all are journalists.
That's a good thing.
By background or training, which is an asset, I'd say. And we also aren't experts in media bias or politics. But we're mostly just engineers, really. We're more of a tech platform than a journalist endeavor. So we didn't want to, put our personal opinions, because who wants to hear them, right? It's just our point of view. We want to keep our opinions agnostic of the app. So to get these biases, we use 3 agencies. It's All Sides, it's Media Bias Fact Check, and it's Advantes. So they're all NPOs, so they're not, chained to any model of profit or revenue. They're just all funded by donors. And they evaluate and they rate these sources on their partisan spin based on how they cover issues climate change, the economy, general political international conflicts. So they rate on almost a scientific basis. And then we take each of those ratings and then we average them out. So if one's center, if one's left, and then the third one's left, we take an average of that, which equals a left rating. Right. So the goal was to keep our personal biases out of the system,
as much as possible,
get to as close to the truth as possible. Because there is no of course, one truth of for sure CNN is left or Fox News is right. But if we can get a more objective basis on this, that's as good as we can get now for that method.
And what are some of the biggest issues with your filter bubbles? How can people pop their filter bubble?
Oh yeah, that's a hard question. We are part of the solution, but I also don't want to say that we are the entire solution. Definitely the first thing is to kind of mind your news bias, mind your news diet.
Right.
So don't, if you're left, don't just read left news, read right news, but it's hard to watch because you have to change tabs or you have to go to different sites. So our app does that easily, is you just go through each news, and just with one swipe, you can swipe to left, right, and then all sources that come from the story. So most important thing first off is start being mindful of the news that you consume. But it goes much deeper than that, of course. So if you are still on Twitter, if you're still on Facebook, you're still on these networks, make sure to keep a balanced following. So even if you do lean a certain way, don't follow just people that you agree with.
Right.
Also follow people that you may not agree with because their point of view, it should challenge you. And like, you know, your beliefs aren't tested until they're challenged. So if you follow these people that, you know, may put out news or point of views that you don't like, that should make you kind of examine your own biases and really strengthen your views.
Yeah, I agree. I've always done, well, my use of social media in the past has been to collect information so I can, I'm giving commanders the no crap evaluation before they send guys to their death.
Yeah.
And so you really have to, you know, make sure that you're getting as complete information as possible, which is never fully possible, but you have to follow the bad and the good and everything, things that you don't even want to look at, you know. But I know I had a conversation with somebody really close to me who's way farther left than I am. And I remember we had stopped talking for a while and he was just like, I just assumed that you were voting for Trump and I assumed that you were a part of this QAnon thing. And I was like, dude, I haven't had the time to study what this Q thing is. Everybody talks about it, something to do with pedophiles, but yeah. I literally have no idea. I'm trying to figure it out. I was like, dude, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, yeah, I just kind of assumed that you was like, it's like, that's the problem though. You're getting fed this, that all these people think this way, or all these people are bad people, or all these people are going to pick up guns and go do whatever they're going to do. And they're just into, and this person wasn't like an illogical person. It was somebody I know very well. And it's typically very logical. And we ended up having to have a conversation and like, bring ourselves back into our relationship together because of what he was receiving in the news. And it was just insane to me to think about that. It's like, that's why he stopped talking to me. Because he assumed, based off of what he was being fed, this constant stream of nonsense about everybody being either in this silo or this silo, which people should be terrified of. That's saying that we all think two ways. That makes no sense. We're definitely not. I mean, that's no more individualism. It's just like, by the way, do you see the shirt? It says faking news.
That's good.
That's my own design, by the way. Okay. But it's one of our decision point t-shirts. I'll send you one if you want it. But yeah, it was just this idea that we can all be put into two groups. That's annoying. I grew up punk rock, you know, anti-establishment government, whatever, anti-everything, anarchy, Mohawk up to here before I joined the army, which is definitely the exact opposite of what everybody thought I was going to do. But growing up like that, I was like, man, I'm an individual. I want to be unique. And that was how I grew up. And a lot of people around me were like that too. I grew up in California. It was like, we were individuals and you can't put us in a box. But nowadays it seems like people are really more open to being shoved into sides and teams and things like that instead of the people like me who don't play well with others. But it's like, I've never thought I would get to that point where it was on a massive scale like it is right now. And I never thought media would be able to influence people to that point.
Yeah.
That's what I blame it on for sure. I mean, it's just, it's kind of scary.
Yeah. It's almost like it's been treated as like a team sport.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a Yankees fan, I'm a Red Sox fan, it's like, it's fine to argue, it's fine if I call your names, because at the end of the day, it's sports. It isn't that important. Right. But if you treat politics like sports, you know, every attack on your politics, you'll see it as an attack on your personal character. And then when people feel like they're being attacked by their character, that's when it gets ugly. So
yeah.
Now every argument is seen like, you know, I'm calling you a blankism, I'm calling you a communist, a Nazi, you know,
yep.
Really, really inflammatory terms, because it's just easier to like consider them as like an other. It's like, oh, the other side. Or the other party, or the other country, or the other person, that it's a lazy excuse to kind of like have dialogue about these issues. So I guess the other way to pop your bubble is to have these combos in person. Because people in person, they're much nicer and they're much more reasonable. But if you're arguing a line, it's going to be people put on a show. People want to, you know, seem right and get that like gotcha moment. But in person, it's hard to do.
Yeah. People don't argue with me too much in person. I don't know why.
I think it's a lot. Tattoos maybe?
250 pounds maybe? I don't know. Yeah. I'm a pussycat though, man. I wouldn't kill you. Just but it's the truth. It's like, look, you have these online warriors that are a 14-year-old kid in their mom's basement, probably, you know, just like in their pajamas, playing video games and trolling. And it's like, but people get so angry. I used to look at a lot of the comments. I mean, you're supposed to stay away from comments, right, on Twitter. Definitely. I would always look at the comments because it gave you a feeling of where people were at. Well, when Twitter first started, it was actually a little bit normal. And then now you just look at them, it's just hate. Just hate. And of course, a lot of those are probably bots that are meant to get people to engage, you know, and whatever. But I mean, it's like, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe everybody is just really hateful now because of this social media thing that we're you know, being sucked into. But it's just amazing that you can't really have a nice debate and conversation. But I mean, that's why what we created is exactly that. And we can have, you know, we're set up on Slack right now. And so we have different channels for different topics, and we have a general one, and people can do their whole social networking, no problem. And they do it politely. Maybe that's because we vet who comes in, of course, which is hard because I want to say, hey, anybody can come in and use this platform. I don't think that model is going to work for very much longer. It's either going to be like, if you're on using Twitter, you're going to have a certain political leaning, and you're going to be, you know, in that group, you know, and you'll be allowed to be on Twitter. But I mean, it's really interesting to watch. Like, I was always worried about government censorship, just something that always kind of stuck with me. And then, of course, being in Intel and going to different parts of the world and interacting with different governments, you see it. And I was always concerned about that, but I never thought it would be actual companies and people censoring each other, which is their right, because of course it's a free market. But people getting so addicted to that they're willing to give up their own morals and values to stay with that. Everybody's bitching. It's funny, all the politicians and everybody bitching about Twitter, but they're still tweeting.
Yeah.
Twitter on Twitter. Like, if you don't like it, get off. Yeah. You know, it's really ironic and weird, to tell you the truth. Same with Facebook. I hate Facebook as we're typing it out on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
it's hard because like Facebook is like, there have been almost like the de facto, you know, common discourse part for the U.S. So it's going to be hard for people to fully remove themselves from it just because of how huge it's getting in our culture.
Well, I also think MySpace thought they were going to be around forever too, and still around. I don't know.
I think actually they're more focused on music, I believe.
Yeah.
That was a bit before my generation, I think. So unless I'm like crazy.
I keep telling people, like, we were pretty smart. We have sent people to the moon and into outer space. We've figured out how to send pictures, right, all the way around the world at the speed of light. We've figured out all these cool things. Somebody's going to figure out an alternative.
Yeah.
I say the same thing about government systems too. It's like everybody keeps going back to either communism or socialism. You know, it's like, we can't figure out a third way here, or a better way possibly. I mean, you know, we're pretty smart, but everybody keeps going back to what they know. And I think that's the same thing with Facebook. Facebook was one of the originals. It was definitely a groundbreaking, you know, innovative system that's changed the world. So I think people are sucking it now. But when you look back in history, when we're old, you know, Facebook's going to be one of a million different platforms that you can communicate on. And so I don't think it'll last forever. I do think they're overstepping. I think all of them are overstepping and thinking that they have more control than they do.
Yeah, they've become huge. If you are a small business, it's like Facebook is integral to your growth. And they know that. They know that they're the gatekeeper for like a lot of like smaller online businesses, and that how much power they have, not an average person sees. It's like, yes, they control the discourse, but also they control a lot of business too. In that way.
If they keep putting those people out of business, eventually it's going to catch up to them.
Eventually.
You cut off a guy, Donald Trump's a billionaire. Mm. You just cut off a billionaire. That's a lot of revenue that could have been generated for that. I don't get the customer service. And I don't think they're really thinking too far in the future on that one.
It's insane. Because before Trump was on Twitter, like, Twitter was in the decline. Like, they're seeing massive drops in users, less engagement, and then
exactly
boom, instant cash cow.
For better, when they just drop 7% when they ban them.
Yeah.
That's 7% of a very large company. Somebody's probably a little bit pissed off about that. If I was a shareholder, I would be.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's definitely, they shot themselves in the foot for like engagement and for their long-term business. So time will tell if it truly did impact them. But for now, it seemed like it might spark almost like an exodus, which because, you know, again, it's the further fracturing of the collective American mind for people going into these deeper and deeper chambers. So it's concerning. It's
complicated. Yeah. I have no problem with people leaving it, only because of the direction it's going. And I don't agree with, like I said, I don't understand their business model. Their business model is about engagement and back and forth. And if you only have a one-sided view on your platform, then what are people going to, what's the point? Right.
Yeah.
And so, and I think they're kind of relying on everybody being addicted to it and sticking with it. I will tell you, I can't stand to look at it anymore. Now that I've gone to something different, I can barely stand to go on it. I'll like if something happens on our platform, I tweet it out, but I don't even go in and do the hashtags or anything. But it's like, I don't care, you know, and it hasn't affected anything that I'm doing because, a lot of the people I'm talking to aren't on Twitter or Facebook anymore.
Yeah.
So they're looking for something new.
Yeah.
And you're right, though. What I used to love about Facebook when I worked in law enforcement and the military was that criminals are idiots and they constantly are posting pictures of themselves doing something wrong. Or if somebody had a bad idea, typically they had underlying mental conditions going on and they would post about it and you could stop it before it happens. And you tell these guys, like, you're exiting all these QAnon people. Okay. That's bad for your business model. I get it. They exited 70,000 accounts last day.
I think so. Yeah. Around that.
Parler had 98 potential posts that were, you know, scary. Hmm. Twitter just exited 70,000 accounts and Parler had millions and millions. And look at the disparity here and differences. Okay. So if Twitter's exiting 70,000 after this happened, that means there was activity on those coming, you know, going up to that point, which means there was probably more of that crazy activity going on Twitter than there was on Parler. But I mean, it's like, if you're exiting all those people off, you can't really keep track of them. And then the other part of it is, if you can engage with somebody and convince them to stop before they start, you know, you could actually keep things from happening. I mean, there was a guy that got arrested outside of that. It could have been a lot worse at the Capitol. A guy got arrested with like 10 jars of napalm and an M4 and a bunch of magazines and explosives and all sorts of stuff that, you know, if he was 70 years old from Alabama. So I don't think he wasn't tweeting his stuff out as far as I can tell. I'm not being ageist. I'm just saying. But it's like, if you can see some of that stuff, there have been so many criminal actions that have been stopped because of people feeling like they can go on social media and post about it. Mm-hmm. Now what you're doing though, is you're driving all of them off and they're just going to go underground like they used to. You know, the craziest thing I ever saw was a terrorist organization making plans to do a bombing via, not Fortnite. What was it? Call of Duty.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were doing their plans on Call of Duty,
like
games. You're playing a war game, right? And you're talking about killing and shooting and all sorts of stuff. What better way to cover up than how you're going to plan?
Yeah. Wow.
And so, I mean, they're going to find some way to do this. So you can try and stop people from talking. It's never worked in history. So good luck. If you talk to old Soviet people, you know, during the Soviet era, they're going to tell you they still had their ways of communicating and the social networks that they used, you know, it never stops. So it doesn't make sense. I understand their risk model and I understand why they're doing it. I understand there might even be a legitimate reason for them to do it based off their business model, but it's not going to matter.
It will change minds. It's like, No one who's been kicked off is gonna disavow their views because they've been kicked off. They're just gonna go something more offline or more out of the public view. And kind of are taking this at ground is we actually have a lot of like really, really partisan sources on the app. So like we have InfoWars, we have people on the left, like Political Flair, and the Wonkit. And so we have a lot of these like sources that are very, very partisan, but it's because these people who believe in these theories and listen to this media that like makes them very, very riled up. It's, if we don't have these sources on the platform, you know, we might not be trusted, but if you can take these ideas and compare them to other sources,
you
can
shine a light.
Yep. That's an easier sell. It's like, you know, all good ideas deserve to be mocked.
Deserve, I agree,
to be compared.
So, and you can't shine a light on a bad idea or bad news source without having something to compare it to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a great way to kind of show people, hey, you're getting fed all this. This is your news source. And guess what? It's all right. Mm-hmm. Or this is your news source. It's all left. You need to like vary it a little bit. So, you know, and showing them that, I think, is like you said, you can't do it without a comparison. That's why I like the platform, just the visualization of it. Mm-hmm. You can really tell what's what, you know. And
exactly.
I actually have been challenging. We have a chat. We do challenges where people win prizes and stuff in our group. So we had one was they had to come up with the craziest retraction for the year, you know, from a news source.
I'm sure, there was a lot of options.
Yeah. And then there was another one where it was a fear monger of the week, the craziest headline that you could find, you know, for the week, and the scariest headline, you know. But one of the ones I'm coming up with that's going to be in this week, actually, is you have to find something you disagree with and try and prove it right.
Oh, yeah, that's great. It's very counterintuitive. It's something you wouldn't think that you would want to do, but yeah, that's how you build a more informed perspective.
Well, it's like if you're always trying to prove things wrong, it's actually not too difficult if you're really solid in your belief system. The problem is that we should never stop learning, and so you always have to have something that challenges. That used to be my job as an intel officer. The commander had a plan, and he was about to go execute the plan. My job was to step into the role of the enemy, the bad guys, and then shoot holes in his plan based off of what I thought the bad guys were going to do. Hmm. And it's really hard because you're talking to a guy who's higher ranking than you, and this is his grand plan. It's like, hey, or general, that's even more fun, you know, and you're telling him, hey, that's stupid, you know, but then they require that to be part of their decision-making process, because without it, you're making decisions in a vacuum, and eventually reality catches up with you.
Yeah.
And or you don't see blind spots, right? I always get that cool newsletters. Yeah. Well, how does that work? How does blind spots work? How do you pick those?
Yeah. So essentially it's based on this waiting to a use. So the sources that are the most, stories that are the most disparate. So like usually it's like 20 news sources on the right reported on the story and two on the left. Like that isn't at all reflective of the current balance in the media, and same with the way. So if it's like 30 ones on the left and then one on the right, so it's like news that's a lot more biased to one way or the other than it should be, because usually the split is like, because like there is more left-leaning stations in the states than there is right-leaning. So usually the underlying coverage bias is a bit more biased toward the left, but if we see a massive deviation from this balance, and that's considered a blind spot, as people on one side of the spectrum who are consuming news in this partisan vacuum, they just aren't seeing this news, which causes, you know, issues again with like polarization, and it's the lack of understanding of issues that are important to these people.
Right. I'm wondering personally, if you don't mind sharing, I mean, you've been working, you started as an intern quite a while ago, right? And then you've been working with these guys for a little while. Has it affected your own personal bias at all?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. 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 Like I grew up on Reddit, on Facebook, in a bubble. So my politics were very skewed towards like one way. Like I was like, you know, like how can these people think like this? And I couldn't see past just like a party alignment.
Right.
At first. So definitely just being an intern, I was like exposed to all these new points of views. And it's definitely made me a lot more critical of my own beliefs, in a way, because I think the biggest cause of personal bias in the past was like your parents' politics,
right?
Or like what your parents tell you to believe. Now that's kind of changed. That's almost like discouraged or forced beliefs on kids. Before it's more normal. But I think the internet has kind of raised a lot of kids. So kids like me who were raised on the internet, you know, my beliefs were shaped and and directed by these bubbles that I looked at online. So starting at Ground News and, you know, being able to see the news that my side is importing and seeing the news that the other side is importing and comparing the spin on all these stories, it made me think about my beliefs a lot more. And I'm definitely a lot more, you know, open to ideas that are more centrist. And
you're
more,
wiser.
Yeah, yeah. With age, with time, it's
No. Just being able to look at that, I think. I didn't do that until I was 25. I didn't join the army until I was 25. Mm-hmm. And then just going to foreign countries and being immersed in different cultures and then seeing the differences, first off, between the really super secure environment I grew up in, even though there's people that have, there's hardship in the States, there's hardship in Canada, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, but it's not like Afghanistan hard, right? Or where you're, yeah. You're literally landlocked with no information. I was there in 01. I mean, cell phones were just kind of starting to come out. There was definitely no internet on your cell phones. We were using disposable cameras still, you know, before.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so these people had no access to information. And then you look, you know, fast forward 16, 17 years, everybody's got, you know, access to the information. But growing up the way I grew up, you know, I grew up in a very conservative family, but was rebellious. You know, and I just wanted to do my own thing. So I didn't have any real political leanings, I would say, at all, until I went into the military and really realized how important freedom was. And I didn't care. I honestly didn't care if you were liberal or conservative or Republican or Democrat. The whole idea was that we all had freedom to choose that. You know, we weren't stuck in one party.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're being forced to believe a certain way or executed. But, you know, I mean, I've seen that too. Yeah. There's a lot of groups out there that just, hey, you don't believe me, you don't agree with me, you're gone, you know? And so I keep telling everybody, it's like, people are like, well, that'll never happen here. I'm just like, we're only a couple hundred years old, both Canada and the States. We're only a few hundred years old. And when you look back through history, you know, history tells you that, yes, this can happen here. It's happened very recently in other countries that were not developing nations, that were very modern, right, and well-informed and educated. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff's happened there. You know, so I mean, how did Hitler convince so many people to follow him? Yeah, you know, it's not like he did it by himself. You know what I mean? So it can happen. So you have to make sure that you hold on to that freedom. And I think free speech is the foundation, being able to express ourselves. I remember going to countries where people were just terrified to say anything, you know, and their whole lives were based around that fear. You know, don't say the wrong thing. Don't say the wrong thing. Don't say that too loud, you know? And I just couldn't imagine living like that, but that's kind of the direction we're going toward, you know? I mean, even my platform, we have to have it behind a firewall.
Yeah.
Right? We have to have it locked off because we can't freely express ourselves the way we'd like to without fear of being canceled or something like that.
Yeah. Democracy and free speech is fragile. And even if it isn't completely like wiped out, you know, like a nation and world that's like a nation that's like at war with each other, you know, you won't progress if there's this constant perpetual partisan warfare that lasts like forever. Like this has to stop one day. Because like, I don't know about you, but it's pretty tiring.
I agree.
and we aren't even in the thick of it. People who evolved into politics, it's like, it's tiring. It's tiring. So eventually there has to be a technology and has to be a broader movement to kind of end this and just bridge the divide. Either if it's tech, tech did put us in these chains, but it can also hopefully break us out of them too.
What also created the ability to spread information a lot faster. I've seen the real positive of it, especially in developing nations where they didn't have access to information like we do. And now you can get literally data almost anywhere in the world, right? And then stream a YouTube video on something educational that you never heard before. A lot of nations I've been in are theocracies or they're, you know, dictatorships, you know, where they really restricted, but you can't restrict the internet. No matter how hard you try, people are going to get in with devices.
Yeah.
And that information is freedom. You know, it educates people. But then that's the other thing that's kind of disconcerting and bothersome is people taking that for granted and using it for nefarious purposes, you know, to try and influence people to do what they want in a way that's not so nice. It's not giving them a choice, really. You know, and you got to give people that choice. If you don't give people a choice, you know, they're just going to, and that's the other thing. It's hubris. It's like, it's thinking that you have more control than you do, or thinking that you can have a certain amount of control. And I think it happens to people when they're in power, you know, a lot of times, because people around them always are agreeing with them and saying yes. And then they don't hang out with the people on the ground too much to understand, you know, it's like the United States. Okay. You can try and cut off all the rednecks in the U.S., right? You can try and suppress their voice. Yeah. All you're going to do is piss them off. And guess who has all the guns? You know, right. And yeah. So it's like, you can't control something like that. You have to learn how to bring people together and convince them, you know, and right now what's going on is a control measure being implemented that's going to totally backfire. And maybe that's the goal. I don't know, but trying to force people to believe something or saying, hey, if you don't do what I tell you to do or like I want it, you're on timeout, which is literally what they're doing. It's very childish to me.
Yeah.
Instead of saying,
it just doesn't change minds. It's not an effective way. I'm sure you have, you know, your methods of persuasion, and telling someone no, it isn't one of them. It's not effective. It's, again, it's like, it's comparison. It's approaching, you know, every conversation with an intent to learn, not to lecture. So right. I guess also on the advice for people who are, you know, in the bubble, it's like when you want to, you know, learn on more of a different side, it's you go out to person and you reach to them and like, hey, like, you know, I want to learn more about your point of view rather than me telling you why your point of view is wrong. Probably the best feedback we get on ground is people who are like, yeah, like before, like my dad and I just didn't talk because of politics, because, you know, I would tell him that all this stuff was wrong, and then he just wouldn't get it.
Right.
Because, you know, telling someone that they're wrong isn't, you know, persuasive.
No.
But if you show him, you know, the news and you say, dad, like, you know, the news is saying this on this side and this side and this side, maybe this is why you believe these things, is because your news just shows you this point of view.
Right.
So it's...
They give you a choice.
Yeah, yeah. And giving people a choice is a much more palatable persuasion tactic than just saying you're wrong and I'm right. So it's,
I agree.
I'll just start.
And we've seen that on our platform on Decision Points, because I made sure that I went out and told a lot of my liberal friends and my conservative friends about this. I said, I need you all on here to keep everybody kind of in check. And then I started seeing, we started talking about it a lot on some of these forums, and some of them were just identifying, look, I work at a place and it's a bubble, and I can't do my job well and make good decisions if I'm only hearing one-sided information. You know, I have to have all the information. And a lot of these people work in security or, you know, government or things like that, where they're responsible for people's lives. And it's important that they have good information. And that was the most frustrating for me. Why I even started this. So I had, my business was doing, you know, travel security. And of course, COVID killed travel. And so, but I was listening to these media outlets and the politicians saying, oh, 6 months or, oh, you know, so I'm projecting out based off what they're telling me, which was stupid of me. And I should have known better in the first place. So I'm projecting out. It's like, okay, I can last that long. And then I'll just, you know, extend myself a little bit on credit to make sure that I can keep going. You know, I've always bootstrapped. I've never had investors or anything like that. So it's like, it's my money. And so I did that. And then, oh, no, it's going to be another, you know, 6 months, or maybe it's going to be a year. It's like, oh, okay, now I'm screwed, yeah, right?
Also, always change.
I didn't get enough good information. I should have talked to some people, you know, but I didn't. I relied on some of the news sources that were out there that I thought were reliable, and they're not. They're all all they do is speculate. Like the whole idea, like the election thing is one of the biggest ones. Everybody's saying there was no election fraud. It's like, I've done investigations. I actually have done international investigations with Canada, believe it or not.
That's cool.
Mounties out there, yeah. I worked on a
counter-narcotics task force in Wisconsin, and we were doing an international smuggling thing going back and forth. Some Laotian gang was smuggling ecstasy across the border in Detroit.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I got to work with the Mounties. It was pretty cool. But the shortest investigation I ever had that was kind of intricate was 9 months. And that was just to get enough of the piece of the puzzle to go after some bad guys and then get more of that puzzle. It took 4 years for them to impeach Donald Trump and try and prove that he colluded with Russia, which isn't anything on the same scale as election fraud. Mm-hmm. And so for everybody to say, there's been no election fraud, and then for the news to say, it's all false, it's been disproven. No, it has not been disproven. And I know that from an investigative standpoint, there's no possible way that they could have investigated that big of an accusation from that many states with that many hundreds of thousands of people involved in 3 weeks, you know, or however long it's been since the election. Mm. And so it really is frustrating to see that. It's like, look, there may not have been any, but you don't know that for certain because you haven't finished any of your investigations. And there's still investigations going on. There's still tips being sent in.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always the urge to go to like, you know, like a definite yes or no. Like, I wish the nuance was more sexy, yeah. But it's not. It's not. Just, you know, like the, maybe there was, we still don't know, isn't, you know, as intriguing as these like wild claims on both sides. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, then the commentators would have nothing to argue about on TV.
Yeah.
So, you know, I keep telling everybody, it's like, look, I can't tell you if there was election fraud or not. I'm not stupid enough to go out and say I know. It's something you have to investigate and figure out. But to say there hasn't been at all and then use that to discredit somebody, that's totally disingenuous. And people should really see that. But if it lines up with, and I keep telling us, like, your guy may have won this time. All right. If there was an election fraud, though, and it's not coming out because the media doesn't do any investigative journalism anymore. Mm. It might be somebody that nobody wants on the next election that gets elected because nobody investigated voter fraud because they just accepted what somebody said as the truth.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's super slow.
It's crazy though. So, yeah. It's crazy. And it's interesting to see the direction. I do think though, I've gotten so many, people signing up first off of what we're doing and so many different, people commenting about how they don't know where to go. They're really left out in the open or out hanging without any direction on who to listen to. Nobody trusts anybody anymore. I keep telling everybody's politicians are blaming the cops for this thing. The politicians or, you know, the media is blaming the politicians. Everybody's blaming each other when the responsibility is on the people who are not trustworthy enough to take them. We can't take them at their word anymore.
Yeah.
You know, we have to investigate the investigative journalists.
Yeah. It's all the way down.
Flipped upside down, right? It doesn't make any sense. But, you know, I think what you guys are doing is extremely, extremely important. I think it's definitely going to keep growing. I push it as much as I can. I've gotten quite a few people to sign up. We did a little, I don't know if you ever got to see it. I'll send it to you, but we did a little review on YouTube that's public on the app. Cause I do think I haven't seen anybody else doing this yet. There's a couple of companies out there, but when you start investigating the fact checkers, and you get deep enough, you find out they're actually fact checking for a certain party.
Yeah. Yeah. Fact checking has been something we always wanted to kind of avoid because, you know, like who checks the fact checkers?
Yeah.
And I'm sure there is some like legitimately good fact checkers out there, but they just lost all credibility in media that personally, I don't see a use for them or I don't see.
Right. You can check facts yourself, believe it or not. Yeah. You don't need somebody else to check them for you. Just open a book up and read it for crying out loud. You know, it that's what I always tell people. It's like, look, when somebody says, when you go to a fact checker, it's because you're lazy. If you really want to know the truth, you have to do your own research. Mm-hmm. And the way we present things is kind of like you guys do. Here is what we have. Now make up your mind, you know? And that's what's being taken away from people. Or rely on, you know, MSNBC or Fox for my news. If they're wrong, I go to the fact checkers. It's like, who are probably hired by MSNBC and Fox to fact check themselves. You know, it's like, who are they? You know, the people who are putting those warnings on Twitter and Facebook, who the hell are they? And what are their qualifications to check
Yeah,
a
lot of them are just like mostly think tanks. So, which again, you know,
either lean left or right most of the time.
Yeah, yep. Think tanks are an inherently political thing. So, fact checking, it's, you know, at its surface, it's a noble goal. People who are just arbiters of truth, but it will never, you know, fully proliferate in Saudi because no one trusts them. So,
no.
Our mission is always like, you know, like we want to empower you with more tools.
Yeah.
And we don't want to be the sole arbiters of truth. But the current system of consuming news and media, it tries to pigeonhole you into one belief. So if we can open up that spectrum and just give you multiple point of views, and then our job's done. So that's our V1 for now. We actually want to give you more tools that allows you to examine your own bias. So tools that can track over time, you know, like, are you reading a balanced news diet? Is it skewed one way or the other? To give more tools that kind of allow you to introspect on your own bias more, because if you don't introspect, then you'll never actually learn anything. Like, we can do all these tools, but if you don't actually inspire a change in behavior, change in thought, then our mission isn't fully realized, which is to broaden people's perspectives.
Yep. Make them use their damn brain.
Yeah.
The attention span of a fish.
It's hard though. It's hard. It's hard because there's the thing about the new space is there's layers to it. So the first thing is getting a person to read the headline. That's step one. Step two is read the article. Just very few people can pass the first step.
Right.
It's hard. And then step three is getting them to read it and then pay for it, which is, again, really hard to do. And then where we're at is want them to read it, pay for it. Sorry. Repass the headline, pay for it. And then control their perspective. So it's hard to get people to pay for news that they don't agree with. Because why would I pay for a piece that I don't like?
Right. And they don't. That's why they have so much on it. I'm trying to avoid the advertising thing myself as much as possible. That's why I'm doing a subscription-based thing. But it's kind of similar to what you guys have. Where can they go to get your app?
Yeah. So we have an app on the App Store, the Play Store for Android. We also have a website, so just go to ground.news, and then you can see the web app version of our service. And we also have a browser extension, which is available for
Chrome. That's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, it's slick. So what it does is it just goes to each article and just says, is the story being covered by media on left, right? Is it balanced? Is it biased? And it does it all for you. So you can scroll in your feed, and then it's all there for you in this small widget. So it's kind of it's a gut check. So if you scroll down your feed and then it's all red, and that means you're reading mostly right biased news. If it's all left, then you know, then you're also in a left bubble. So it's kind of like a self audit of your bubble just to see which way it leans if it's there. And that's available on Chrome, Opera, Firefox, and Edge. Everyone but Safari is also working with Apple on that one.
And if you really like living in your own bubble, you can just see which ones are left or right and then go based off that. Well, I only want to read the left.
Yeah. Yeah. Which would be the worst use for us.
Yes, it would. But. Well, hey, Matt, thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it. I know so you guys are kind of doing something that lines up with what we're trying to do, which is really just give people ground truth information, let them make their own minds up and use that information to make good decisions. You know, I've seen people make decisions in silos before and it ends up badly. Yeah. In business, in life, absolutely. Families, it doesn't matter if nobody's ever challenging you. You know, my dad used to say iron sharpens iron. You know, he was a Bible guy, but it's the truth though. If you don't have somebody out there to converse with and bounce your things off of, anytime I make a decision, I have to call up my mentors and talk to them. And they're not all people that agree with me. Otherwise, I'm going to make some really, really bad decisions. And that's what's going on right now is people are getting their information in a silo and they're doing things like attacking the Capitol building in DC or taking over Capitol Hill in Washington State for a month. You know, I mean, it's just that's not good. And it's going to follow them around too. They've arrested like 120, 130 people so far.
Yeah, tons. And half the internet's putting a price in their head. So, it's getting worse, but. You know, the people who are on the cusp, they can still be protected if they just don't go down these things. By being part of communities like yours and using services like ours, they can kind of protect themselves from falling down these rabbit holes. So as long as
I agree.
We keep that cover on there, they won't fall down. So let's keep at it.
We are the last hope for mankind. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks again. I appreciate it. And then thanks for taking the time. I'm sure we'll follow back up if you guys aren't too busy after all the investment and everything else that's going on. I'm glad I caught you when I did.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah. It's gonna be a crazy month for us. We're putting out lots of new tools, more so for people to judge their own biases and more of like a personal suite of tools.
Cool.
So keep an eye out, and then I'll keep updated as they come.
Cool. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Take care.